back here on this Wednesday evening, Sunday evening. Missed 3 days somewhere. I'm glad you're back, and I hope that you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. We had a wonderful time in the house of God this morning. And tonight we're privileged to have Brother Groot and his family come by. They're going to sing for us here before I get started. So Brother Groot, would you come on, bring your family?
Well, it's good to be here, and thank you all for the gracious love offering that you gave us to help us fix our vehicle so that we can be on our way back to Michigan. It's a huge blessing that's been done just in the last couple of days, so thank you very much for that, and we appreciate it. And Pastor, thank you. We got the Groton family, Pastor. They said, well, we get that a lot. People mispronounce our name, say Groton. I said, don't worry about it. But we were at a church, and the pastor said, well, that's, you're in the South now, and that's how we say it. So I said, okay, that's fine. That works for us. But my name is Jamie. This is my wife, Renee. And then right down the line here, Rachel, and then Hannah, and then Ruth, and then Caleb, and then Bethany. Our oldest son, Joshua's in the Coast Guard, stationed in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's actually in Cuba right now, so pray for him. Him and his wife have been married 4 years, but he no longer travels with us. And we are missionary builders. We travel. We're sent directly out of Sheridan Road Baptist Church, and we've been doing this for, we're going on 9 years. And our Lord's really been blessing. We've been over in St. Cloud helping Pastor Rogers. I'll pray for them. They're trying to get into a building, and they just got the papers today, or yesterday. They just got the papers, the contract, and all that yesterday. So just continue to pray for them as they refurbish the building. I'd like to sing a song for you this time that is a blessing to us. It's called Amazing Grace Is More.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's a song I've heard o'er and o'er again, but I never understood how amazing God's love could be until he reached down, touched my broken life, and set me free. Now amazing grace is more than just a song to me, and it's more melody in my soul. Amazing is God's love, sending his own son to die, and grace is Jesus taking my broken life and making me whole. Now when we've all been there 10,000 years, it will be just the start of my prayers. Forever at his feet I'll bow, I'll lay my crowns and my trophies down. I'll thank him for all he's done for me. Amazing grace. Now amazing grace is more than just a song to me, and it's more than just a melody in my soul. Amazing is God's love, sending his own son to die, and grace is Jesus taking my broken life and making me whole. Yes, amazing is God's love, sending his own son to die, and grace is Jesus taking my broken life and making me whole. And grace is Jesus taking my broken life and making me whole.
Amen. Amen.
You think I mispronounced your name, you should be one of my 8 children. I've known them all their lives. We're in Genesis. Somebody's still laughing a little. That's all right. We're in the book of Genesis, going through the book chapter by chapter. We're in chapter 7 tonight. And we are moving right along, been going through this since the beginning of this year. We started in Genesis, and here it is. We're in June, and we're just in Genesis 7. So we're moving right along. Warp speed. We should be done with the book of Genesis by 2029. All right. Genesis chapter 7. We're going to read the whole chapter tonight, and then we'll just dive in there a little bit. Get us a little information to try to help us out. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. But fowls also of their air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, and to the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of the beasts of, that are not clean, and of the fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah, and to the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and his sons, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. Verse 15, and they went into in unto Noah, unto the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh. As God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in, the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered. And all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of the cattle, and of the beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and of all that was in the dry land died. Verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. This was a tremendous flood that came upon the earth. It never flooded, never rained up until this point. It was kind of some oddity that was fixing to take place. But somebody asked, how in the world could all that fit into the ark? Well, if you back up to chapter 6 and you look at verse 14, God said in chapter 6, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, shalt pitch it within, without, with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and the cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou sit in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So as you read there, you notice that it was a three-story type building, or ark, or boat, whatever you want to call it. In my mind, it looks something like this. And you say it's 300 cubits in length. That's the length thereof, you know, all the way. Well, how far is that? That's 450 feet. So 450 feet. If you was to take out a measure, Brother David, how far is that across there, right there? 100? 125? 100 feet from there, to that door. So you'd have to add three of these plus a half. That's a long way. Then not only that, it was 50 cubits wide, so that's 75 feet wide. So over there about this side of Brother Ray to the door. That's a pretty wide area right there if you was to go times four this length. And then the height was 30 cubits, that's 45 feet in height, and it was three stories. Well, that don't really help me much. Well, they did some mathematical equations in these books that I got over in the office, and these mathematical geniuses says that 520 boxcars of space could fit inside the ark. That's a long train. That's a long train. But if it would have been a canoe with one seat, and God said, Noah and all of the eight got in the canoe, and all those animals got up in the canoe, I just assume believe. But God didn't give us something by chance. He didn't say, well, they just got on a boat, they got on a yacht somewhere. No, they got an ark that is large. Some of you made the trail up there and saw the ark, the replica up there, and it's a pretty big contraption that they built up there. And so as Noah began to build it, he did it according to verse number 5 in chapter 7, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. So what he commanded, he said, build it of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and pitch it without. So there was a pitch, a tar of some sort, that was on the inside to seal it there, and to make it where it would not leak upon all this time. And so the ark was a place of safety. And our place of safety, dear friend, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, are you in the Lord? The hope of glory, the anchor of our hope, the one who died on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt. Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because just as God said there's going to come rain in the days of Noah, rain came. Just as God has told us there's coming a day, the moment, the twinkling of the eye, that I'm going to call my people home, and then there's going to be a great tribulation, and then there's going to be all kind of turmoil and troubles and difficulties that run upon this earth and wax worse, I mean, worse than anything that we could ever imagine. As He pours out His judgment upon this earth, And then at the end of all that, he's going to call the great white throne of judgment up, and those that were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life were to be cast into the lake fire, which burns forever and ever and ever. Pastor, you really believe that? God said it.
Amen.
And I believe it. I absolutely, 100% believe it to be so. Now, some things that we notice about Noah here in verse number 1, you'll notice in chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. When I read that verse, it says to me that as God began to talk with Noah, the Lord said unto Noah, there must have been a time of fellowship. There must have been a time where Noah and God communed with one another. Have you ever pulled up alongside somebody that maybe been broke down or walking or you know, and asked them, hey, why don't you get up in the car with me and I'll take you and get you some help? Kind of startles them a little bit, don't it? Well, I don't know. You know, there's that hesitation. Now here God is talking with Noah and says to Noah, listen, Noah, come thou and thy house, your wife who you love, your sons who your wife bore to you, the daughter-in-laws who you've become to love, that's one day is going to bring your grandchildren into this world. Why don't you come in and you get into this ark? And it shows me that there's been a time of fellowship, dear friend. And I want to ask you this. If God comes and begins to talk with you and direct you and guide your life, do you move with obedience? Do you hear His voice? He says to us in the book of John, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. Is there fellowship with you and your Lord? I mean, sometimes I think we think God's so far off in this far, far, far away place that He is not. But the Bible says He is near and nigh unto thee. I mean, He lives within us who are His children. He seals us. There's that seal, the Holy Spirit of God, that lives within us. Is there any fellowship with you and the Lord? If the Lord comes along and says to you, I want you to do this or I want you to do that, are you willing to listen? The only way that happens, dear friend, is you have fellowship with the Lord. And God invites Noah to come into this place of safety. Look over in Isaiah. Chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Listen to what the Bible says. It's God came to Noah and He said to Noah, He says, come into the ark, you and all your family. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 8, God says this, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So as Noah was entreated of God, and the Lord said to Noah, Noah, come in, and your family, the whole family, come in into the ark. God's saying to us, come on, come on, come in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. The Bible says there in Matthew 11, again, God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Lord's speaking today. I'm amazed at the amount of children of God that walk outside the protection of the Lord when the Lord says, come. Come unto me. I'm amazed at the amount of folks who'd rather live their life for themselves and selfishly and self-centered and doing their own thing and thinking there's no consequence at the end. When God says, come unto me, is God talking with you tonight? Is there any fellowship in your life? Can we apply this here chapter in Noah, in Genesis chapter 7? And the Lord said unto Noah, well, the Lord hadn't talked to me. Oh, yes, He just did in Matthew. If you're a child of God, the Word of God speaks to us. And He's talking to us. He says, come. Are you fellowshipping with the Lord? Does it get a little scary for you whenever you hear God talk to you through His Word? I mean, you know, sometimes I believe that folks that, you know, we don't read the Bible. We're halfway around the church. And when we're in church and the preaching's going on, our mind's 17,000 miles away, about 1,400 different things. And we say, well, God never talks to me. How can He talk to you, dear friend? You've got to get in the Word. You've got to spend time in the Bible. You've got to listen to the proclaimed Word of God. You say, yeah, but men of God have made up stuff and they've said falsities for thousands and thousands of years. Yes, men may say false things, but God's Word will never be false. And the only way you're going to know that it's a false thing is if you know the Bible. And the Lord said unto Noah. So God's inviting me. He said, come. Come to me. Talk to me. Spend time with me. Then He gave him some instructions in verses 2 through 4. Of every clean beast, thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and female. And I think God used that term many times in this chapter, male and female. So God ain't been confused about this male and female thing, never. God said, male and female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, and the male and his female. But fowls also of the air sevens, and the male and his and the female, and keep seed alive upon the face of the earth for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So God gave Noah some instructions. He was to take seven of each of the clean beasts and bring them in. Well, why is that? Because over in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20, there's a program that had been set up by God, and it was called sacrifice. Since the fall of man, God came into the garden. Adam and Eve had sinned. They hid themselves off in the woods and put some aprons of fig leaves around them, and it wasn't enough. And God killed and slain the innocent, covered them with the coats of skin of the innocent animal, and there was a sit-up of sacrifice, the innocent for the guilty. Well, how do you know it was set up? Because when Abel came, he was accepted of God by sacrifice of the innocent. Cain was not, when he brought his little cornucopia and laid it there before God, it wasn't enough. It was the works of the hands. Your works and my works are not going to be enough. We work because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're trusting in that. By grace are you saved, as a gift to God, lest we could stand up and boast. Not of works, lest any man could say, oh, look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. If there was any other reason or any other way or any other avenue or any other scope for us to spend eternity in heaven with God, Jesus Christ would not have died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. But that was the only way. The innocent died for the guilty. And so He said, bring the seven in. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, the first thing Noah does here, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings. If it only took two by two, then they'd have been extinct already right then. But he took enough to work through God's system of sacrifice. And he took two of each of the unclean, and the animals, he kept them alive. And it was going to rain. This is literal rain, dear friend. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. What, Pastor, that is just hard to believe. It's not hard to believe if God said it, dear friend. Faith Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God said it. It's written down. It's there. And so we must believe it. If we are choosing not to believe this 40 days and 40 nights, then, you know, the devil will come in and he will cause us to doubt other things throughout the Scripture. 40 days and 40 nights, it rained. Then you notice something here. In Genesis chapter number 7, back up in verse number 1. For thee have I seen righteous before me. So he's communed with God. He spent time with God. He's given some instructions to Noah. And Noah did that which was righteous. How do you know that? Because verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Part of being righteous is being obedient to Scripture. You're not going to be righteous if you're not going to be obedient. You're going to be self-righteous. You're going to say, my way is better than God's way. But to be righteous is to do it God's way. Because we don't need our righteousness. Our righteousness hasn't got us nowhere. Our righteousness, dear friend, will not buy us a second in eternity with God. Our righteousness, which are as filthy rags, and we stand before God in our own righteousness, will get us an eternity in the devil's hell. That's what's going to happen if we stand in our righteousness. And I'm so thankful because of Christ and the righteousness of Christ and my faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary that I can stand accepted in the beloved. That when God looks down at me, He looks through the blood of Christ and looks at the innocent or the guilty and says, you have been justified because of my Son, not because of me. And so Noah was found righteous. The Bible says there is very, very, the terminology to me is something to take note of. For thee have I seen righteous. There's some of us talk righteous. Some of us act righteous around others. But dear friend, righteousness is how God should see us. And God sees us when we're alone or with others. God sees us. And so God says, I've seen you righteous before me. How are we standing before the Lord? So sometimes we say, the preacher's coming, we better hide this and put that away. Why are you hiding it from me, dear friend? I might have that same stuff in my closet. You're messing up, dear friend, if you think you say, the deacon's just wrong. Well, hey, mama, you better put that stuff away. What's the deacon's got to do with all this? God's there way before we arrive. Amen. Oh, no, the Sunday school teacher's just fooled in, mama. They're checking on us. We better be, hey, let's hide this. Listen, dear friend, you better be thinking about how God sees you. You notice God didn't go to report of the community. He didn't go to the community council. So I need a report on Noah. He didn't show up down there at the town hall and say, listen, I need a background check on Noah. God said, I've seen him to be righteous. And because God saw him to be righteous, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. How's God seeing you today? There's none. None good, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So is he seeing Christ in you, the hope of glory? I surely hope so. I surely hope so. And then all of a sudden, verses 16 through 17, the floods came. Noah availed himself to the protection of God. Are you availing yourself to the protection of God? Well, Pastor, I don't know how to find that. Right? Right there. When God says, flee youthful lust, are you availing yourself to that? When God says not to even have the appearance of evil before us, are you availing yourself to the protection of God? This is our protection, dear friend. Amen. And we got to look in there, and we got to look and study, we got to see the principles, the precepts, and we got to say, hey, these are God's way. When we read there, verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Not what the traditions of the community came up with, not what the traditions of the town hall came up with, but what the Lord had commanded him. Well, we have the commandments of God before us, dear friend. He said life and death, and we have to choose between the two. We got to choose life or choose death, or life and cursings, and we've got to follow the path of God. Are you availing yourselves to the protection of God? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I told y'all this a couple of Sundays ago, maybe last Sunday, dear friend. Yes, I am for abandoning abortions, dear friend. But if we get back to having no fornication, there'd be no need for abortions. The root problem ain't doctors. The root problem is sex outside of marriage. But men of God won't stand up and say it because they're afraid they'll offend somebody. Now, Sunday school teachers that show up pregnant, they don't address it outside of marriage. She didn't get that way over at Aldi, dear friend. She didn't buy some gummy worms over there in Aldi and say, "Wow, what is he? Something's growing around there." No, dear friend, it's because of sex outside of marriage. How you doing, Brother Ray? What are we going to do in the morning? Drink some coffee? They mad at me now. I got to get it. Brother Chase, what's that? Two coffees in the morning before we get started?
At least two.
You got to avail yourself to the protection of God. It's that way. Well, Pastor, you just don't know how wonderful it is. I only got 8 children. Yeah. Okay. Next subject. Don't talk to me about something I don't know about. You don't talk to me about something I don't know about. Let's talk about geometry. Calculus. My uncle took me on the farm when I was 13, dear friend. I didn't need a teacher teaching me at 5 years old. It's not their place. Mom and Daddy's place. There's nothing to be ashamed of, by the way. God put it in there. It's to be kept for marriage. You know what helps us? We've got to stay with it. Stay with what? The Bible, dear friend. Are you availing yourself to the protection of God? If you're not, you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble, a world of hurt, and consequences that are sometimes lifelong lasting. God's word is true. Judgment came. But it came in His time. See, this is all about God's time. You know what? We're looking around because God's not executing judgment speedily upon this world. We think, well, we can get away with it. I think we're thankful as God's people that He doesn't execute judgment speedily, because some of us would be getting some spanking pretty regularly. We'd be chastised pretty regularly here for you. So it came. Length of flood. Noah was 600 years. And it lasted till past his 601st birthday. 1 year, 10 days. The flood came. 370 days or 371 days. Somewhere around in there, that's about how long the flood lasted. And it was there. It was fierce. The Bible says 15 cubits higher than any of the mountains. I mean, there's some tall mountains. There's some men and groups and teams that have set out to conquer these mountains and have given their life on these mountaintops, trying to get to that next level, pushing themselves. God said, 15 cubits higher. Everything with breath in his nostrils died. All the animals. Yet, verse 16, we notice, and they that went in, male and female, all the flesh, and as God had commanded him, and listen to what it says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed the door upon him. And they were protected. And they went through this. And they were shut in. And dear friend, as secure as Noah and his sons, his wife, and those three daughters-in-law were, we're secure in the Lord. The Bible puts it like this: no man can pluck us out of his hand. We're secure, sealed until the day of redemption. You're secure. Quit allowing the world and the devil and the demons and powers of this earth to rob you of the security that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, every time you get to tinkling around with sin, every time you get to fooling around with things of this world, the biggest lie that I have ever been told by the devil is, if you were saved, you wouldn't have done that. You know what he's doing? Wanting to mess with my security in Christ. Because if I know I'm secure in Christ, I know I can go back to my Father and I can find forgiveness. I can find hope. I can find grace. I can find redemption and atonement for my sin. Amen. You're secure in Christ. Now you might have to rock through the flood a little while. That's a long time, dear friend, to be locked up in there with all them animals. And far as I can tell, when I read the description, it wasn't like in our little bitty kids' storybooks where they had, you know, 1,700 windows around the top with animal heads sticking out. I think they had one little vent window. Go back over to Genesis 6, verse 16. Now, I could be wrong because I don't know Hebrew or Aramaic, but I do know a little bit of English. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Seems like to me it's one window, and not a big large window either. But it's up there above, and isn't that amazing that God created this heat thing that rises? And when that heat would rise, it'd take all that fertilizer smell right on up out of there. The stores. We can live down here in the freshness of the air while the fumes of life. They had to walk through it. They had to live in that. They had to, though the judgment of God was all outside of the ark, they were secure within it. Can you imagine when that ark, there's old Mount Everest. That'd probably make a pretty good shake, right? Just shake it off. That'd rock you pretty good. Sometimes in the protection of God, we hit a little bump. But the peace of God is always there to calm us through the storm. So there was the ark. They were secure. Are you secure in the Lord? Some of you right now need forgiveness from God because of things that you've said, done, or acted upon, or pain you cause and heartache. Don't let the devil rob you of the security that you have in Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Run to him. You're secure in Christ. Flood covered the whole world. It just all over the earth, God's judgment was sure, as he said it was going to be. As sure. But his protection was sure. In verse number 21, you notice there in verse 21, chapter 7, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle, beast, every creeping thing creeping upon the earth, every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living creature, a living substance, was destroyed, which was upon the face of the earth ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained alive, and they that were in were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Wow. Just like you said. On those alive, get in there, Noah. Shut it up. Take the seven, male and female. Take the two, unclean, and put them in there, male and female. And they all were secure and alive. Term of security. I'm so thankful that I don't have to wake up. And when I make those silly mistakes, Brother Dick, those sinful, silly mistakes, that I can turn to my Father and say, Lord, forgive me. And he says, son, you're okay. You're forgiven. You're my child. I'm secure. What a day that must have been when no more rain fell. What a day it's going to be in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, when we're called about him. You know, judgment's coming for all. The Bible says if one of the man wants to die, and after this, the judgment, it's coming. It's coming. But there's a way that you can be judged prior through Christ. By faith in Christ, finished to God, there's no more condemnation. What a blessed thing. What a blessed thing.